This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We are inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with three of the members of Mountain Sprout. Gentlemen, do you mind introducing yourselves?
Yes, my name is Dan Redmond, and I play the bass.
I'm Adam Wags. I play guitar.
I'm Grayson Van Sickle, and I hold a banjo.
You hold the banjo. And together you guys are Mountain Sprout. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys got together as a band?
It was an accident.
A happy one?
Yeah. It was a happy accident. I mean, they all had better things to do, but they decided to do this.
Decided to take time out of our busy schedules. Yeah.
I joined the band 3.5 years ago when Melissa quit, myself.
He was making a good living plumbing houses and industrial complexes, making way more money than, you know, of course, we would ever hope to make. But he's like, well...
But plumbing had lost its spark for Dan.
Were you recruited?
Yes. Yes, Grayson hit me up at a... I lived in Tulsa, and they were playing the Mercury Lounge, and I went down to watch him. And he said Melissa wasn't going to make some of the gigs, so I said I'd cover them, and then... While I was covering them, I think she quit. So then I had a lot more to cover.
I see.
So how long has Mountain Sprout been kind of an entity?
This core's been together for 7 years,
okay.
Other than me.
I was going to say 3.
Thinking 3 years.
Time do fly, though.
Time does fly.
And when you mentioned Melissa, that's Melissa Carper, who used to be with the band.
Yes, Melissa Carper.
She plays with Carper Family Band, and she's got a handful of stuff, projects she does.
So did you feel at home? I mean, when you were covering, that's a little bit different than when you've been asked to be a permanent member.
Yeah, my history is in the swing and blues, so this was a different kind of thing for me. It took me a good year or 3.5, 4 years to get used to it, but it feels comfortable now.
Which means you got too used to it about yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
There is a song on the CD Refront. Well, it's on others, but the best. And it's Dry Counties.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're from Arkansas or some other southern states, that term means something instantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have friends that are in the north, they don't know what a dry county is.
Yes, we get some blank looks in certain states.
Really? Because they don't know what a dry county, what that
means?
Yeah,
that's...
Or you explain it to them and they're just... In awe that not even the places have that.
I didn't realize that was a southern thing.
Yeah, many states, it's just regulated.
Oh,
it's a state thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that Dry Counties is one of those songs that really can get a crowd going.
Oh yeah, yeah. It usually does, especially in Arkansas. Everybody's affected by the Dry Counties that come to our shows. Definitely.
Yeah, or a lot of people will see in other states that'll, you know, they'll hear the song and be like, oh, yeah, I was down there once and I was driving through and we stopped to get beer. And, you know, it's like people tend to understand it if they've been around here.
Well, I moved here from New Orleans. Wanted some more. I went to the grocery store. I said, where do you keep your beer? And they said 40 miles from here.
Well, 2012, you guys are playing a couple festivals. You played Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, and you guys are heading to Harvest Festival. How is a festival, playing at a festival, different from playing at a regular venue? I mean, is it It's different for the acoustics, I'm sure, but is the atmosphere different as well?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Festivus, very Festivus environment.
Everybody's stoked.
You know, you get a more diverse crowd that wouldn't regularly hear you, so get to see a lot of people. It's way different. Like it. You get to mingle with other bands that you don't ever get to see when you're playing clubs throughout the year.
I think there's kind of a unity that develops after people have been not sleeping and malnourished for a few days. They kind of feel a connection, you know, especially if the band's been there, which we usually have with them.
You know, that's what we're striving for is malnourished crowds that don't know what they're listening to.
Are they more appreciative?
They're so confused that
we're like,
by the time you play.
We're so out of our mind, you guys actually sound good.
200, 250 shows per year for you guys, is that right?
Try to.
That's been so you shoot for that many.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it down to like 12.
Yeah. Just 12 really high-paying
really
ones.
Good ones.
Like with Willie Nelson or something.
Whom you've opened for.
I don't see it in the immediate future, though.
Well, if you're shooting for 200 and 250, obviously there is a paycheck involved. But if you were doing it just for the paycheck, that'd be a rough way to go. So you've got to enjoy the travel. You've got to enjoy the live crowds.
Yeah, I'd still be plumbing if it was for the paycheck.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's my passion. I love playing music, and it's a good core group of guys to play with, so I learn daily.
How far into a show do you have the idea that, this one could be good, this one?
About 30 minutes before the show starts.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
what can you tell in the 30 minutes before a show starts?
You can tell everybody's mindset.
A lot of times when it's a really good show, you don't really notice it until afterwards because you don't really have to think about it that much. You know, if you're thinking about it too much, it's probably because something's a little off or something like that. You know, I a lot of times don't even realize it until the end. You know, I'll be like, oh, that was a good show. That was easy. And, you know, it just kind of flew through it or get in a zone. And
yeah.
Now, are the majority of your shows in kind of the Ozarks area or do you guys go coast to coast?
We've been coast to coast, but the Midwest is our main area.
We've got a pretty good we do actually. It's surprising the further away we get, you know, we still find people that know us, but, you know, in towns we've never been before. But for years we've been kind of doing a steady circuit around Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, some Illinois, and then just kind of we spiral outward from there. Every now and then we'll go on tour and just hit a direction we haven't been very much, but we've got a pretty solid base in the South and Midwest, you know.
Well, the CD you brought us is a best of your music. Was it difficult picking only 17 songs to put on here?
Yeah, you guys I do think all we recorded 18 or 19, but, you know, you got to stop at some point. And
well, that is that's the refried album, and we actually took a lot of time and made that, you know, compiled all the other songs together, and Dave Sigelding came out and pulled his camper into the woods because we wanted to make it not a studio album. We wanted to make it feel real, like campfire, hang out in the cabin thing. He pulled his recording mobile studio out in the woods and ran 100 feet of cable. And that's how we recorded that.
Yeah, and that's
the Carver's Cabin.
That's a lot of the, like, you know, it's a best of album, but we actually did re-record all the songs. We didn't just pull them off the other studio albums. We figured kind of mixed a best of and a live album together, and that's kind of what that ended up being. But it's easier, especially if somebody hasn't heard us, instead of buying five albums all at once, you know, you can buy that one and get a little bit, you know, get an idea what's going on with it.
Yeah, we recorded it at Melissa Carper's cabin, which is a really cool little cabin out in the woods, and it was a fun little weekend or week, whenever it was. It was nice. We just sat in a circle and recorded it, and
you just played songs.
It's my favorite one.
Sat in a circle where you each mic'd?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had had the room mic'd and just kind of set the sound up, and then after that was done, we just played through songs and like we always do and kept the good ones. And
it was loose. It was a room like this.
Yeah.
Just
bang. And I'm pretty pleased with it.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the song Little Bird? You guys were talking about outdoors, and I know birds make me think of the outdoors, so I was just
curious. Little Bird is a song I wrote for my wife, Amanda Van Sickle. It's a love song.
Oh. It's one of my favorites, personally.
Well, my boots are old. My hat got a dent. I'm way past 30, but I got a good woman.
she can be. And I got a little bird singing inside of me. I got a little bird singing in my soul. I might talk to it. It's all for show.
In the introduction, you said you hold the banjo. That banjo gets a workout, though.
Well, I pound on it, but I don't, you know, a real banjo player would say, you don't play that. And I'm like, you're right, I don't. I would rather be playing a axe or a chainsaw. Really, I would. So I play the banjo like I would play the chainsaw.
That's great. I mentioned that most of the band is here. Mm. Not everyone in the band is here.
Yeah. Yeah, Blaine Tebow is with his mommy right now.
Oh. His belly hurts.
His belly hurts.
Family obligations. He's got his family in town, and of course, you got to do mom first.
Sure. Mm.
Sure.
Well, we have a tradition.
We do.
In the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
We do. If a band shows up and they're missing somebody, we get to talk about the person that's not here.
All right.
So what's an interesting fact or little tidbit you can tell us about your missing bandmate?
Hmm. He lives in the nicest bus in Eureka Springs.
Oh, he lives in the bus?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like a school bus or like?
Yeah, school bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weatherwood stove.
Oh.
Yeah, it's decked out, you know. It's a school bus home.
it's decked out.
It's not like an old broken down school bus.
Sure. Well, did
he drive it?
I think it runs.
Well, did he deck it out himself or?
Yeah. Partially. I think it had a wood stove, and I think someone was using it for like a camping or a hunting cabin vehicle, something like that. A friend of ours found it, and Blaine ended up living in it. So I think he's definitely made his own modifications to it, though.
He definitely blamed it up.
Mm-hmm. That could be a new show on cable, Blame My Bus.
Yeah, totally. He'd be the man to call, I guess.
Well, you're going to be at Harvest, and that's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Harvest Fest. It's good for what we do, especially. It's a nice speed, you know. It's not too crazy, but it's not, you know, but you can still get away with a lot over there.
Yes, you can.
They always have good acts there.
Yeah.
Good rootsy kind of stuff. Right up my alley.
Can that be an inspiration for you guys if you're seeing other bands?
Yeah. That's mainly what gets me going, you know.
And it's also fun that you can see these other bands and, you know, one of them can jump up with you, one of us can jump up with them, and that's always fun to throw something else in the mix.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of in that setting too, it's a lot easier to just kind of hang out and get to know people. You know, if you're a lot of times you play bills with other bands and you meet them for a minute and you see their show, but it's in passing, you know, that kind of deal. You can usually, you know, spend some time just kind of hanging around and you know, yeah, maybe hop up on stage with them by the end of it.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Mountain Sprout will perform at Harvest Festival tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 and again early Sunday morning at 12:30, just after midnight. More information about the band is available at mountainsprout.com. For festival details, visit yonderharvestfestival.com.